Thanks, Pastor. Love your appreciation.
Well, good morning, everyone. Let me invite you to take God's word, and we're going to go to the book of Joshua, Old Testament book of Joshua this morning. And I want to say thank you so much, Heritage Baptist Church, for the privilege of coming back. This is very, very encouraging, and it's nice to come back home. Some of y'all didn't get a chance to see. I'm seeing you now, so everyone who we know and those who we don't, we are privileged to be with you today. Thank you, Pastor. When I was here on staff, of course, when you work for someone, you're friends, but your friendship's a little bit different, you know. When you use the pastor, you know, it's just a different relationship. And a pastor was my friend, and Brother Wiggins was my friend, and Brother Chad and Brother Brandon early on, and the list goes on and on and on with everyone who we work closely with. And after I left, Pastor, my relationship, I'd say, changed in just a very encouraging way. He's always been my friend, but Pastor Crawford has become, I would say, my friend. And he means the world to me. He's one of my mentors. And I'm so thankful that God put Pastor in my life. And we were talking, I don't know how long ago, and Pastor invited me out to speak today. And I'm just honored and humbled. You could have so many speakers that could do such a better job than I ever could. And I'm honored that I have this privilege to open God's Word. I want to encourage you this morning, as you come to this 23rd anniversary, that's a milestone. My wife and I have been gone. We left in December of 2019. And those of you who don't remember what happened in 2020, we chose a good time to leave. We arrived, and I could tell stories about our first few weeks transitioning. We left here, and God blessed our youth ministry. Praise the Lord for that. When we went to a new ministry, I took on the position of pastor of a church, but also president of a Christian school. And our school had 369 students in it. And so that was quite a change, going from having no staff to having 47 people on our staff. And it was an amazing thing that God allowed so many things in my life to begin to prepare me. But nothing really can prepare you for what it means to be in pastoral ministry. And I want you to know, the longer I've been gone, the more I appreciate Pastor Crawford. And for you and the church, we left and we came back today, this weekend. And as we were seeing so many of the things we talked about, I remember when this building wasn't here, we used to play volleyball right in that back corner there. But it was a field, and there was tires, and there was a net outside. And to serve over the net, you'd have to turn about 35 degrees so the wind would catch it and bring it back in. Some of you teenagers who are around remember that. And then I remember when we tore the wall down and we built this building, my office used to overlook a balcony. You could look down to the building. And then we built this building, and then with the gym. And Brother Wiggins and Brother Chad and I had the privilege of helping build the sports complex. And I say privilege because it was a lot of work. And I remember those 3 months thinking, I'm quitting. I'm done. This is my last days here. And the Lord kept me here a little bit longer. So I praise the Lord that God's allowing us to be here today. And I want to be mindful of the time. Joshua chapter number 3, if you go there with me. In Joshua chapter 3, we have the story of the children of Israel preparing to go across the Jordan River. If you remember anything about the nation of Israel, they were in Egyptian bondage for 400 years. And whenever they came to, God came to Moses and said he was going to go to Pharaoh. Of course, the idea was, let my people go, but Pharaoh did not say yes. The children of Israel left, and they really thought this was just going to be about 2-week journey over into the promised land. But you know, like I do, that 2-week journey turned into a 40-year trip, and it wasn't a vacation. Joshua chapter number 3, look at verse number 7. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. Jump down to verse number 15. The Bible says, "And as they bear the ark, and as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city, Adam, that is beside Zeraton. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed, and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm," notice this, "on dry ground in the midst of Jordan," a miracle. "And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." As we read this scripture, we understand what a miraculous thing happened. That the Jordan River, as it's overflowing the banks, it wasn't a little stream. It was something that some men could maybe go across. If you go back in the books of Chronicles, you'll see there's even talk of going across the Jordan River. But with the women, the children, the animals, there's no way that they could all get across. It was another barrier. You remember years prior to that, they came to the Red Sea and they were trapped on every side. The Red Sea in front of them, Pharaoh's army behind them. And now they're about to go into the land that was promised back to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. This is a momentous occasion that they're a part of. But I want to remind you that when this happens, the story doesn't end here. As a matter of fact, I would say this to you, the ending was really just a beginning. Because they got to the point where they said, if we can just get across Jordan to the promised land, I want to remind you that when they got across the promised land, there was some giants waiting for them. There was a walled city named Jericho waiting for them. The end was not the end. The end was just the beginning. The truth is, in our lives, this is our 23rd anniversary for Heritage Baptist Church. And you may think, wow, what does that mean? It means just a new beginning. I remember after the 10th anniversary, my family and I joined before the 11th anniversary. And I remember Glory Bound Quartet singing. I remember being in this building. Many of y'all remember Brother Wiggins and I changed that light up there the very first day, and there was, that day was, the lift didn't go high enough, so I was standing on the rails, and Brother Wiggins' arms were wrapped around me. I remember that light right there. And I've never done anything else crazy all my time at Heritage Baptist Church but that one thing, just that one time. If you knew anything about when I was here, I was the guinea pig, and as long as Brother Wiggins and I had a YouTube video, we'd figure out how to get it done. That's the way it worked, and so we had a fun time with that. And Pastor just usually didn't want to know because he could have plausible deniability. It was very smart. We never made videos, never did anything like that at all during our time here. That did not happen. I don't know where I got off on that rabbit trail. Forgive me. As you come to chapter number 4, I want you to notice that the Ark of the Covenant is in the midst of Jordan River. But the story's not over yet. God wants them to remember some things. In chapter number 4, the Bible says, verse 1, "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared over the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man. They went back and they got the rocks." Look with me in verse number 6. "That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." I want you to notice in this text here that God said, you've come to what you think is the end, and it's really just the beginning. But God wanted to teach them something and teach everyone something, their children, future generations, and other nations in the world. And here's the title of my message this morning, you see on the screen, "That ye may know." That ye may know. We're going to go and you see Joshua 1 through 5, and you're thinking, how long does he have? I have a strict timetable and I'll stay to it, okay? What time is it? I'm not going to tell you. Pastor told me what it was, and I know. I will not be long this morning, but I want to walk through this text of scripture and let you know that God worked many miracles in this story in order that they would know who God is. And in generations to come, when they looked back and said, look at what God, well, look what we did, they could go back and say, no, 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 look at what God did. Amen. So this morning, with God's help, let's speak on this subject that ye may know. Let's pray, may we? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you so much, Lord, that you give me this tremendous privilege to stand in this pulpit. Thank you for this wonderful church, and thank you for what it means to my family and I. But Lord, today I pray as I have the opportunity to preach, may I preach with authority from thy word of God. May I be clear. May I be able to slow down, Lord, and get my thoughts collected. And I pray that I could encourage this dear church to continue keeping on. And I pray, Lord, in the message, if there's things to convict, if there's things to challenge this church with, I pray, Lord, that you would do that by thy Holy Spirit. Bless, I pray, the next few moments. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Look back with me, if you would, in chapter 3 and verse number 4. The Bible says, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. The Ark of the Covenant was not just in front of them. It was way in front of them. They were supposed to look and see what was in front of them. They may know where they're supposed to go. Look at verse number 7. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, I love this, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Go with me to verse number 10. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you. By the way, we don't have time to look at this morning. The book of Joshua concludes. We come to the book of Judges. In Judges chapter 1, the Bible says, Joshua dies, and all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And the Bible says in Judges 2, there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done in Israel. And here, Joshua chapter 3, Joshua's just taken over from Moses. Moses, the great godly man, the great prophet. And Joshua comes in chapter 3, and God says, to Joshua says to the people, ye shall know the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from among you. They're about to go across what they think's the end, but it's really just the beginning. And as they come over the Jordan, they're about to be met with some difficulties. Go with me to chapter 4 and verse number 6. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? That ye shall answer them, God said, I want people to know that when I'm doing a work, I'm doing it not because just the miracle, not because of what one person can see. God says, I'm working in your life, Israel. I'm working in future generations of your children. I'm working this for that they may know who I am. And everyone remember what God did. In Numbers chapter 13, we won't go there this morning, but in verses 25 through verse 33, we go back to the text of Scripture where there were 12 spies. And you remember the song, 10 were bad and 2 were... Yeah, exactly. And they came over and they said, hey, they went across the Jordan River and they saw this land that flowed milk and honey. Surely it's a great land. However, there's giants there. And I love the pastor and Miss Tanya named their first two children Caleb and Joshua. And Caleb and Joshua, remember, stood the people and they said, we're well able to. But they didn't trust God, did they? And now they face 40 years wandering in the wilderness instead of taking a two-week journey to the promised land. We pick up the story in that context. Shittim is where they're at. They're not very far away, and they take a small journey to the bank of the Jordan River. And I want you to see with me what happens here in this text. Go back with me to Joshua chapter 1 this morning, and I'm going to outline for you that they may know, and what did God want them to know? First off this morning, notice this. God wanted them to know that one of God's gifts to his people are his leaders. They wanted the children of Israel to know, God wanted them to know that one of God's gifts to his children are leaders. In the book of Exodus, the book of Deuteronomy, you have a mighty man of God named Moses. And Moses was this wonderful prophet of God, the man that went before Pharaoh, the man that led the children of Israel, a meek man, the Bible says. But Moses disobeyed God, and he was not able to go in the promised land. You can read about that in Deuteronomy, the end of Deuteronomy. Joshua chapter 1, look at verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead." Sounds a little bit harsh. They've been mourning for him. But guess what the nation of Israel needed? They needed a leader. God says, "Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan." What did Moses want to do so badly? Moses was able to go up the mountain, look over and see the promised land. But Moses didn't get a chance to enjoy the blessings of God that he could have. I'm not going to pick on Moses. Moses was a mighty man of God. But if Moses could have taken back that act, if Moses wouldn't have smitten the rock, do you think Moses, if he had to do over again, would have wished he had a mulligan? I know he would have. But Moses is dead, and God says to Joshua, "Hey, listen, you're the man." This morning, I want you to see in this text that if God's gifts these people are his leaders, what must this leader be? Well, first notice this. The leader must be strong. Jump down to verse number 6. I'm sorry, let's go back to verse number 5. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." God says to Joshua, "Hey, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you." What a comfort. I had the privilege to pastor a church, so we'll celebrate our 71st anniversary this November. Our church, our school is 52 years old, and so I'm the 6th pastor of the church I pastor. And so there's lots of men. As a matter of fact, while I was in the service, we had a 95-year-old man pass away Friday night, and his family was texting me. And they go back to remembering those great men. There was a man named Arthur Estes who pastored our church for many years. And he's a godly man. Sometimes I sit in my office and think, "Lord, how can I do the job?" And I start naming the other pastors. But the reality was, it wasn't them. And it's not me. It's the God that's with them. And the God that's with them wants to be the God's with me. You have been blessed, Heritage Baptist Church. While I was here, I knew that I worked for a tremendous man. And by the way, pastor doesn't know I'm saying this. And if he did, he probably would ask me not to. But I want you to know something. The longer I've been gone, the more I appreciate what Pastor Crawford means to this church. Pastor Crawford has been faithful and diligent. Most of you all probably know this. Brother Leper, when he came, called me and asked me to come to work here. I helped find Brother Leper as a position. And I remember telling him, there's not a better person to work for than Brother Crawford. Brother Aaron and I have been friends for a long time. Brother Kusho and I actually went to college together. We played soccer together. And I was on the way to a funeral when Brother Aaron called me, and I said, told him about our church, and I said, "Listen to me. If you could choose any..." Did I say this, Brother Aaron? Is this true? "If I could go anywhere in the nation, that's the kind of pastor I want to work for. I'd go work for Brother Crawford." Now, you say, "Why aren't you here working?" Well, God called me to pastor. I understand that. I love this church, but please understand, and pastor's a man, pastor's not perfect. But I'll tell you this, Brother Roy Webster and I talked one time, and Brother Webster said, "You need to thank the Lord you're at a church where your pastor just stays after it." Amen. I came back on this property this week, and pastor had the plans out. We were talking at breakfast yesterday. And for me, it means a lot to you, but it means a lot to me as well that so many of the things in pastor's heart when we came in 2011 to visit are beginning to come to fruition. Some of you have only been here, and you've been able to see these buildings. I remember when this was just grass, and there was a little doorways on both, and those metal staircases were outside. And so many of you all remember way before that when this was just a dream to this property. And God's done a wonderful thing. And I'm not telling you that God could not use any man. But God calls a man to serve his church. And you, Heritage Baptist, I said Victory Baptist Church, my church, Heritage Baptist Church, should be thankful for the shepherd God's given you. The leader has to be strong. He has to be courageous. The leader has to be willing to pioneer. Sometimes pastor has dreams and visions. And sometimes I remember on staff thinking, "Pastor, is that really realistic?" And I'm telling you, as I come back, so many of the things that I did not know if they ever happened are happening. And you know what I say? Praise the Lord for that. And I'm praying for pastor, God would never let him lose his vision. And as a church, I want to encourage you, get behind your pastor. 23 years, pastor's still a young man. I look forward to seeing what God's going to do in the next 23 years. I'm thankful for that. This leader, though, must be willing to lead. God speaks here to Joshua. Look at verse number 7. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Wait a second. Is Joshua a military leader? Is Joshua a leader of people? Is Joshua supposed to be in God's word? What's Joshua supposed to do? And the answer is yes. You know what a pastor does? A pastor does a lot of things. I remember the teenagers. Some of them are here this morning. I call them teenagers. Some of them are 30s now. I guess they're not teenagers anymore. But I remember when we had an internship program, and my very first intern was Russell. And then it was Caleb, and then it was Dylan, and then it was, I'm going to get a mix up, I do it, Tyler and Josh and Victor. And I don't know, and I remember the first week I always said, what do you think I do all day? And they tell me they thought I did all day, and by the time summer got done, they're all like, their eyes are big, like, I don't know if I want to do this. And then they began to understand why a preacher does what a preacher does. Can I tell you, last night we got a chance to meet across the way, and we had a fellowship for our HBC teens. I will talk about that and look at that picture for years. Because my wife and I came here, we just wanted God to use us. And to think that in this church there's so many of our teenagers who are now dads and moms. Some are married, some are getting married, some are at college. And I don't say ours like we did it. I mean ours like we had the privilege to be a part of it. But to look at what God's done in this church, this is a special place. And I would encourage you, keep on letting the leader lead. Amen. Keep on following the leadership God's put. And by the way, I recognize Pastor's not the only leader in this church. Get behind leadership and support them. God wanted the people to know that one of his gifts to his people are leaders. Number two, notice this. God wanted his people to know that moving forward requires faith. That moving forward requires faith. Look with me in verse number 11. God says to Joshua, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess. So who needs faith? Well, lots of people need faith. Leaders need faith. Oh, yes. The people need faith. Faith to do what? Well, they needed faith to move forward. Remember, they're at the brink of the Jordan River. They're right there, and between them and the promised land. By the way, they were never told. Here's what they were told. They were told to possess their possession. That's important. It wasn't like go over there and see what happens. God says, everywhere your foot goes is yours. When they got over there, some of you teenagers may remember this. We heard a message years and years ago, Pastor Will, on chariots of iron. And they say, hey, we can't go to possess them. They have chariots of iron. Listen, it doesn't matter what the world says when God tells you to go. And they needed to move forward by faith. The people needed it. Not just faith to move forward, but faith to fight. They come across the Jordan River. And the first city they come across is a place called Jericho. And by the way, Jericho got a victory, and they thought, we can do this on our own. Then they come to Ai, and they get defeat. They needed faith to fight. They needed faith to believe what seemed impossible. They're at the Jordan River, and they're thinking, how can I possibly get across? Not just faith for the leaders and faith for the people. They needed faith for the priest. Imagine this. Go with me, if you would, to chapter number 3. Chapter number 3. In chapter 3 and verse number 5, God's word says, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant, and went before the people. The Lord says to Joshua, begin to magnify you. Jump down with me in verse number 13. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. Notice, God says, here's what's going to happen. You take the Ark of the Covenant, represent the manifestation of God, God's presence. And he did not say, go stand on the edge. He told the priests, by the way, not the usual ones who would carry. The priests are the ones carrying the Ark. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go stand and put the feet, your soles, in the water. And what happened in the story? Look with me in verse number 15. And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, look at verse 16, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up. What needed to happen? They had to trust Joshua, but trusting Joshua wasn't the challenge. It was trusting that Joshua had the right word from God. It was trusting that this is what God wants them to do. And these priests, they needed faith, just like the people needed faith, and just like the leaders needed faith. Notice number three this morning. God wants them to know that God desires to leave a legacy. God desires to leave a legacy. Go with me to chapter 4. We read these verses, but I want to point out a few things too, if I may. Verse number 4, then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared the children of Israel out of every tribe and man. And Joshua said to them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan. By the way, you know where the ark of the covenant is? It's still in the Jordan. And take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribe of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel. Notice this phrase, forever. What did God want to happen here? God wanted there to be a memorial for their children. The thing that's wonderful about Heritage Baptist Church is that there's a good age spread in this church. There are those, and I'm not going to start saying ages because I don't know how old everyone is. We're all 4 years older than we were a couple last time I saw you. But maybe in my church, I have a 95-year-old man, a 93-year-old man, and my 95-year-old man just went home to heaven, actually. 93-year-old man, a 92-year-old man. I have a bunch of 89-year-old people. But I also have a bunch of 20-year-old people, 30- and 50-year-old people. I'm thankful for all of them. One of the greatest things in church, and this is just as a pastor's heart speaking to you, I would encourage you, just because you're young and maybe because you think you're old, please don't neglect the responsibility God's Word says that the aged men teach the younger men. And younger people, please do not think they don't know what they're talking about. They certainly do. And older folks, please don't think, well, they have Google, they have Siri. They need you. That's such a need in today's church. And I encourage you, in each individual church, these churches need to be reminded, don't let the age gap get too spread apart. Invest in one another. They wanted their children to know. And here's what one author said. Memorials are necessary because God's people tend to forget what they should remember. What has God done here? Well, I wasn't at Lakeland. I wasn't here in the early ages. I wasn't here in 2006. Or is that the year 2006 when the church went through such difficulties? I wasn't here. I was here in 2011 through 2019. Some of you all have been here a long time. It's been a short time. Don't forget what God's done. What you see today didn't happen by chance. It didn't happen because one or two people followed the Lord. No, it happened because a group of people have determined to follow the Lord. And God continues to bless because God wants to bless this church. Amen. And I encourage you, don't let what you have here be lost. Amen. Don't forget it. There's a memorial here. God said, I want this memorial to leave a legacy. Notice this fourthly. What does God want them to know? That God's mission is to be glorified in all the earth. God does want the children of Israel to know who He is. And God does want them to remember what happened in the Jordan River. But it wasn't just the nation of Israel the stones are there for. They go across to Gilgal. When they go across to Gilgal, they put a memorial up. But Joshua goes back, and the text tells that Joshua goes back and puts stones in the midst of the Jordan River. And here's what happens. Look with me, if you would, in chapter 4. Look at verse number 24. We'll go back to verse number 22 for context. Bible says here that Joshua took these stones and pitched them in Gilgal. It says in verse 22, then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever." God wanted them to know. Remember the story of David and Goliath? And what did David say? That all the earth may know that there's a God in heaven. God works to glorify himself. This church, what God's done on this 23rd anniversary, is a testimony to you all. But you know what else this church is a testimony to? It's a testimony to everyone who drives past when they see what's happening. And what we should not say is, well, this is what God's done for us. No, we remind ourselves what God is doing and why. Pastor said earlier, why do we have buildings? Why do you have buildings? To reach people. And God said, I want you a memorial not just for you to leave a legacy for your children, but a memorial that other people may know. Fifthly, notice this. What did God want them to know? The following God has expectations. Now, I wish I didn't have to tell you this, because it would be nice if I could tell you, do whatever you want. You can live the way you want to. That would be nice, but it's not what the Bible teaches. And when preachers try to teach you that, you should be weary, because when someone says, follow God, everything's easy, well, read your Bible. Ask Paul, ask Peter, ask Joseph, ask Isaiah, ask Hosea, ask them. What did God do? Well, I'm going to go through this quickly. Notice this. It requires commitment. It requires commitment. Chapter 5 and verse number 1, and we're not going to read for the sake of time. Do you know what they had to do when they went across the Jordan River? Something that was a little bit uncomfortable. They came across Jordan River, go to Gilgal, and here's what happened. Back in Egypt, what was the back before Egypt in Canaan, what was the token that they were Israelites for the men? Circumcision. They've now been in the wilderness 40 years, and guess what had not happened? They came across, and here's what the Bible says in Gilgal, those men, those young men were circumcised. I remember being in the hospital and experiencing the cries and hearing that for a 8-day-old or 3-day-old baby. Now, I'm not going to be graphic here, but can you imagine what this took, what this meant for these men? But here's the reason why. God said, hey, if you're mine, it takes commitment, it takes consecration. Not just consecration, commitment, but it requires spiritual maturity. God wants you to know that he has expectations. What do I mean by that? Take your Bible, go to chapter number 5. Would you look with me in verse number 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. What a blessing. Angel food, right? Now they passed over Jordan. Look at verse 12. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. What did God say? No more manna. No more delivery from heaven. Now it's time to grow up a little bit. Now it's time you get a chance to enjoy. The wilderness didn't have what you needed, but I'm providing for you what you needed. And by the way, to get it, there was some conquering that had to happen. There's some spiritual maturity. The manna ceased. This was a major change for the nation of Israel. Their wilderness wanderings are over. Now Israel would not be fed by manna. They'd have to do the work for them. And by the way, they got to enjoy the fruit of it, but there was work. Spiritual maturity. Number 6, notice this. What did God want them to know? That it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. They come across the Jordan River. They circumcise. They're about to go to Jericho, and everything seems like it's going well. And take your Bible, if you would, and go with me to chapter 5. Keep on reading verse 13. The Bible says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with the sword drawn in his hand. Can you imagine? Joshua has followed the Lord. He's listened to what Moses said. Now he is the leader of Israel. He's taken them across the Jordan River. He's put the stones up. He's circumcised the men. Everything's going very well, and now he's on a reconnaissance mission. He's out walking, and he comes across an angel, a man, the Bible says, with the sword drawn. I don't know about you, but if I'm walking out and there's someone with their sword drawn, it'll make me a little bit uneasy, a little bit nervous. And there's a question asked here. Look with the question in verse 13. Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? That's a good question. In other words, sir, are you for us? If he's for us, then put the sword away. If he's for our adversaries, pull the sword out. But I want you to notice what happens in verse 14. And he said, nay. But as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Can I tell you what sometimes happens in church work? We say, Lord, I have this really great idea, and I want you to get on my side. Lord, I think this is what's going to work. And so, Lord, will you please listen to what I say? Lord, I'm praying this way. I want you to do this. And sometimes we go to God and say, God, will you get on my side? Sometimes we have to understand the Lord resists us, and I'm thankful that he does. Years and years ago, I don't know if it was Dave McCracken or if it was Sam Davidson, but I think it was Noah. Remember that? He kept on walking and he kept on showing the way God resists the proud. Do you all remember that? That was a revival many years ago. I'm thankful there are times in life where God resists us when we're fighting against him. But God says, I'm not for you or against you. The question is this, Joshua, are you on my side? Joshua had to learn a very, very valuable lesson. And here's the lesson. That it's our job to recognize who God is and get involved in what God's doing in this world. Because in the end, it really is all about Jesus. Joshua was confronted with that truth. And Joshua chapter 5, and look what happens in verse number 14. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? I'm a pastor now. I have people come to me and bring me challenges and questions and problems and blessings. And I can tell you there's times in my life, it happened here recently, where I just sit in my office, close my blinds, and just weep because I feel like, how can I possibly make a decision here? I know, Pastor never told me, but I know there's got to be times where he sits in his office and just thinks, what do I do? And you know what's so wonderful for us to remember, every person in here? That we don't always have to have the answers. We know the God who has the answers. And Joshua is reminded, and God said, I want you to remember that it's all about me. Finally and lastly this morning, this is to wrap it up. What did God want them to know? God wanted them to know that the end is really just the beginning. The end is really just the beginning. This morning you may be here and you may not be a Christian. You may not know Jesus Christ, and in your mind you're thinking, I'm going to live a long life and one day there'll be an end. And when you reach your end, you think there's nothing more to it. Can I tell you, the end of life is just the beginning of the afterlife. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, Jesus loves you and gave his life for you and died on the cross because you're a sinner and so am I. And the Bible says our sin separates us from God. But praise the Lord, the Bible says, and he, that's God the Father, hath made him, that's God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If you don't know Jesus and you're here on anniversary Sunday, I want you to know there's nothing good enough you can do to get to heaven. Your church membership won't get you there. Your baptism won't get you there. Your good deeds will not get you there. I've asked you many times to pray for my grandfather. My grandfather just went to a nursing home this Monday. He's still lost. I'm praying that my grandfather gets saved because the end is not the end. The end is just another beginning. Amen. For the church here, can I encourage you with this? 23rd anniversary will lead to a 25th anniversary. And a 30th anniversary. But the way this church gets to a 50th anniversary and a 100th anniversary is when the Lord continues to remind you that the end that you have in sight is just the beginning. Whatever it is for you, whatever the next goal for you is, when you get there, remember this, it's only the beginning. There's still more to do. There's still more land to conquer. They got through Jericho and God says, next battle. They got to the next battle. If you're in life, they'll always be battling, they'll always be taking more land, they'll always be possessing your possessions. For this church, the end is not today. It's really just another fresh beginning. And I'm praying for this church, and I'm thankful for the privilege to serve, that God will continue to remind us that it's really all about him, and that we remember in life that the end is really just another beginning. Pastor.